pull the bills and come close. Bills come close, come closer to the gathering. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونسلم ونسلم على رسوله الكريم ما بعد قال الله تعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم My dear respected elders and dear young friends, mothers and sisters listening at home, it is a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us many opportunities. It is His great fadl and great mercy that He encourages us and He creates certain moments for us in which we have this chance, we have this opportunity to think and contemplate about our life, about ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's so merciful. And generally, when we think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the sifat and the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that come to mind, many times they relate to His greatness and His power, His might, and our mind tends to often go towards the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will or is always ready to take us to task or to punish us. This is not the reality. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is almighty, He is great, He is all-powerful. His greatness and His might and His power is undisputed, it is definite. But the quality and the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to His mercy, with regards to His compassion, His kindness, this is far more and more vast than His quality and sifa of being punisher and one who punishes someone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he initiates his kitab with these very qualities. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. These qualities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these sifat and these attributes that he has of Ar-Rahman and Rahim, he starts his book with these qualities. He does not start his book, the final message, telling the people that I am here to punish you. He doesn't use the qualities of Batsh or Shadid or those qualities in which reflects his wrath and anger. First and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directs our attention to the fact that he's Rahman and Rahim. These qualities of Rahman and Rahim, that he's Rahman, the most merciful. He's so merciful that he's merciful upon all his creation, whether they believe in him or not. That's how merciful he is. He's so merciful that his mercy encompasses the whole universe. Every part and every place there is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His mercy is on all the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the creations that he has created, his mercy is there. He's so merciful. He is not only merciful in this world, he's also merciful in the hereafter. We cannot fully comprehend and we cannot express the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is just so merciful. It is not like our conduct, that if a person is nice to us, then we are nice to him. In one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions that don't be imma'a, meaning that don't be followers and those people who conduct according to the conduct of people. That if someone is good to you, then you're good to them. That's our conduct. That if someone is nice to us and someone is kind to us, then we will repay back. We will be kind to him, we'll be good to him. And even there, maybe our kindness will be somewhat less and our compensation will be somewhat less than what we received. That is our condition. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is so great and he is so merciful that whether a person even believes in him or not, even though he disbelieves him, even though he refuses to accept his existence, there are people in the world who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they attribute partners with him. But there are even worse people in this world who are not even ready to accept the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, he's so Rahman and he's so merciful that he gives them sustenance. He gives them food. He gives them life. He gives them opportunities in this world. He gives them luxuries. He gives them things by which they can enjoy themselves. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not think that everything we have is to because of our own doing, because of our own strength. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that he is the one, يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ. He is the one who gives sustenance. And he is the one who gives excess sustenance. And he is the one who constrains the sustenance. This is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not think that because I go to work, or because I have mastered this profession, or because I have this job, or because I have this business, that is why I'm getting sustenance. This is a misconception. This cannot be that because of your doing that you are getting the sustenance. Because just think for a moment that who put it in the mind of the employee that he should employ you? Who put it in the mind of the employer that he should employ you? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who put it in his mind that he should choose you to work for him.
So this, you can see that it is not in our hands. And many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us this. He shows us this, that maybe you will have a very good post, a very good degree. Maybe you are very educated. Maybe you have a good profession and you are very professional. But you are without a job. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows you and shows us that rizq and sustenance is in my hands, not in your hands. If I wish to give you, then you may get it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful that despite people refuse to accept Him as a God, let alone that, refuse His existence altogether. They dispute, they say, no, there's no God. Yet Allah ta'ala is Rahman, He's so merciful that He showers them with mercy and He gives them sustenance. He gives them air to breathe. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahman. He's Rahim. He's very merciful. He's so merciful that He's merciful upon us in this world. And not only that, in the akhirat He'll be very merciful. He'll be merciful to His bondsmen. He'll be merciful to the Muslims, the mu'mineen. That despite their ill doings and their mistakes and their disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will forgive them. And He will enter them into Jannah. In the ahadith, we find that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that none of you can go into Jannah because of his good deeds. Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That none of you can go into Jannah with his good deeds. There is no one in this world who can do such good deeds by which he can say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I am worthy of going to Jannah. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they asked that, what about you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You are the mercy of the worlds. You are the final prophet. You are the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are that being because of whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the whole universe. You are the greatest prophet. So will you not all go into Jannah because of your deeds? That your worship and your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your great status and the amal you have done in this world of propagating the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being the guidance for the whole of mankind. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? Neither I. Even I cannot go into Jannah because of my deeds. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is unlimited. He is so great. No one can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to His greatness. Because He is the creator. He's not been created. There is nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can match Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we all being the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't matter how high we can go, we can never match the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and accordingly worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He ought to be worshipped. We can never worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He ought to be worshipped. He's too great. But it is the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is His benevolence and compassionness that whatever we do which is so insignificant, which is so significant that it cannot be even be regarded as worship. It cannot be even regarded as something near worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Significant people like us who are made of dirt, we are so insignificant. Yet we have the opportunity and Allah grants us this opportunity to stand before Him. He gives us this thought and He gives us this courage that we can stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Him. Who are we and what status do we hold that we can even stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We are so insignificant. We are such an insignificant creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we should be just brushed aside or made into dust. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful that He elevated us. He elevated us and gave us such a stature and gave us such a status. وَلَقَدْ قَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ That we, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we gave you a rank, we gave you a status. You are nothing. وَلَقَدْ قَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ We gave you a status. We gave you a rank in this world. We gave you a significance in the creation. What significance did He give us? He gave us such a significance that He created Adam alayhi wasalam and He told the angels that prostrate before Him. What a status did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us? This is His sheer mercy. That despite us being nothing and not worthy of anything, despite us not being worthy of anything, He accepts these little actions that we do. The little That little thing we do, that he makes it an excuse for our forgiveness. So look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's so merciful that on a day of judgment, despite us not being worthy of going into Jannah, despite us not being worthy of even being in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll be so merciful and he will send people into Jannah. He will send his Banu Adam on little good deeds they may have done. On a small deed that he may have done in this world, Allah's mercy will come down and Allah's mercy will make him go into Jannah. Our respected Hazrat Damul Barakatuhum often mentions to us that his beloved father, Rahimahullah, used to mention that I go out of my way to do all these small deeds because I don't know which small deed is going to attract the attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this is small deeds that we do, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes so kind and merciful. So I was saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala initiated his kitab, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, with Rahman and Rahim, these two sifat and qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These two attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these two characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is merciful. He is very, very merciful. And he is merciful. Why? Because a believer in this world and a person in this world should always remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is so great. It is always there. In some narrations we find that on the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala it is written that inna rahmati sabaqat ghadabi, that verily my mercy surpasses my wrath and anger. My mercy surpasses my wrath and anger. And Allah's mercy is not just confined to these worldly materials that he gives us food and drink and air to breathe, clothes to wear. This is not just the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is so merciful that one after the other, at every moment, the spiritual mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are descending upon us. Time again after time, he gives us these opportunities and he sends down his special mercies so that we can join ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it is a significant night, or whether it's a specific night, whether a specific day, on a general note, on a general basis, every moment, Allah's special mercy comes down upon the believer. Because we find in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so vast. That what does he say? That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that inna Allah yabsuru yadahu bil layl, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his arms out all throughout the night. All throughout the night Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his arms out. Allah ta'ala does not have arms like we have. This is a metaphor to explain to us that a person, when he puts his arms out, then he's ready to embrace someone. He's telling that person to come forward, I'm waiting for you. If a person was to enter this room, and if he was beloved to me, if he was someone I was waiting and anticipating for him to come, then I would put my arms out and he would know that he's waiting for me and I should go running towards him. So in the same manner, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expresses to us that he has his arms out. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that all throughout the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his arms out. Why? Now when we are busy in making disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when we are busy disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we have forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we have the thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left our minds, we are busy enjoying ourselves with our friends, we are out clubbing and having fun, which we think is fun. At that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his arms out. Why? That maybe my bondsman, in the midst of his sins, in the midst of what he is doing, the thought may just cross his mind that I am doing a sin. The thought may cross his mind that I should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe the thought will come in his mind that I should ask Allah for forgiveness. So Allah ta'ala says, my hands are out for him. My hands are out for him that come at any moment, whichever state you are in, whether you are filthy, dirty, whatever condition you are in, my arms are out for you. Just the thought that comes that I should ask Allah for forgiveness, and the feeling that comes in the heart, even if he doesn't say anything with his tongue, but the feeling comes in his heart that what I am doing is wrong. What I am doing, I am disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The thought that comes in his mind, and he decides that he wants to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not find Allah ta'ala's door shut. You will not find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, what are you coming here for? You will not find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What you will find? That his arms are out. His arms are out. They come and embrace. Come to me and ask me for forgiveness and I will forgive you immediately. Allah ta'ala does not wait for 15th of Shaban. He does not wait for Ramadan. You don't need to wait till you get Laylatul Qadr. The moment that the thought comes in your mind, the moment the thought comes in our mind, that we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Him for forgiveness, He is ready for it, there with His mercies. That is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And maybe, you will think that this is only in the night. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no. In Allah yasadu yadahu bin nahar. That maybe you have enjoyed yourself. You thought you have enjoyed yourself. You thought you had fun. You thought that you have forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His commands. And all throughout the night you disobeyed Him. But as soon as dawn occurs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not go and say, I have had enough now. He doesn't say that you have sinned all night. Why are you coming to me now? He doesn't say that. He didn't say that you have sinned for 60 years. Why are you coming now for? He didn't say that. Every moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His arms out. All throughout the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His arms out. Every moment in the day, He's ready for you to come and for us to come and say that we're asking Allah ta'ala for forgiveness. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, generally, at all moments, Allah ta'ala is ready to forgive our sins. He's ready to shower us with His mercies. And above on top of that, He gives us different opportunities. He creates these atmospheres for us. He creates these opportunities for us. Through the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has mentioned certain days, certain nights, certain events. The blessed month of Ramadan is coming. The blessed month of Rajab has passed. We are in the blessed month of Sha'ban. We have this feeling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us again to think and contemplate and think that yes, He is giving us another chance. Maybe every day we become so engrossed in our worldly matters that the thought of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't cross our minds. So He gives us a tawfiq and tells us to come into the masjid. Creates opportunity for us. We have a feeling in our mind that maybe today is a blessed day. Maybe tonight is a blessed night. So the thought of the blessedness comes in our mind and we have this urge and we have this thought that let me go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He creates this opportunity for us. Do not think that it is my own will and power that I have made myself come here today. It is the thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put into our minds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all the time is attentive to us. He is merciful to us. It is us that we have to take this opportunity. And we have to take this opportunity and grasp the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers, we just need to sit and think for a moment that how many such days have passed. Maybe we can sit and just reflect for a moment. 360 days ago, that this day had come, 15 Shaban. And maybe that thought had come that we'd come in the masjid and there'll be a talk so we'll listen. And the thought had come at that time, and after that 360 days have gone past. And now we are here again. Allah Ta'ala afforded us another opportunity. And a whole year has passed. And we didn't even realize when we are in an academic year and the year comes towards the end, then we start discussing that, oh, where did the year finish? We didn't realize. The 1 year has finished. It's gone so quick. We have these comments on our tongue that 1 year has already finished. Ramadan is already here again. My dear brothers and my sisters, my mothers, that just like we are saying that this 1 year has passed, like this, our life is going to end as well. Before we know it, we'll be in the qabr and we'll say, oh, life has finished. My dear brothers, this is a time to reflect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that He takes the oath of the time, wal asr, to explain to us, to bring its reality to us, that this time that He has given us, it is very, very precious. It is so precious that it is worthy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes oath upon it. Allah ta'ala doesn't take oath upon small things. He takes oath upon great things. So he takes oath upon time and he says, wal asri, by the token of time, by time, verily, all of mankind is in a loss. We're in a loss. What does it mean by we're in a loss? Every moment that it's going from our life, we are losing it. Every second that goes, we have lost it. We cannot get it back. We cannot get this moment that has passed. It was 10:22, it's 10:23 now. The 60 seconds have gone, we can't get them back. So we have lost this time. We have lost this moment. We have lost this breath. And like this, some of us have lost 30 years. Some of us have lost 20 years. Some of us have lost 36 years. Some of us have lost 50 years. Some of us have lost 60 years. Do not think, my brothers, that, oh, I've got so much more time to go ahead. We don't know how much time we have left. This is something that is beyond us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He has written our time, we cannot know. We don't know when this time is. Definitely we are going to die one day. Definitely we are going to die one day. But when is that moment? We don't know this. There are so many incidents, day in, day out, and which we hear of our friends, close people, people in our area, people in our country, that he had left the house to go to work, and he didn't come back. He only left the house. He had no thought that he's going to come back. He had no thought that he's going to die. Yet, he has passed away. People, they go on a holiday. They go on a holiday, and they think that we'll have some fun and enjoyment and rest, only to realize that when they come back, they don't come back alive. Their dead body comes back home. This is not something new. These are instances we have heard. Maybe it's someone in our family as well. Maybe something someone we have heard about. These are not something which are far-fetched. My dear brothers, death can come anytime. So we have a limited time left. Shaitan and ourselves, we always think in a positive way that I have a much long left. We always think that I've got a long time to go. We don't think the opposite way, that maybe I have less time to go. Our Akab and our pious elders, this was a general quality and they all had in their lives, that they would be very particular about their time, and they would always have the thought that maybe this is my last moment. Maybe this is my last breath. Maybe this is my last opportunity to come to the masjid. Maybe this is my last salat. So our time is in a loss. Why? Because this time is just going. Yes, how can this time be of any worth? It can only be of any worth if we have utilized this time in something which is beneficial for us. Something which will benefit us. Something by which we can gain something. Now what can we gain from this time? We can do a lot of things. Maybe we can get some enjoyment of this world. Maybe we can eat something. Maybe we can buy something. Maybe we can use something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this verse that إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. That in reality, if you really want to save your time, in reality, if you really want to make your time beneficial, in reality, if you want to save God your time from loss, there's only one thing, there's only a few things that can do, which by doing that, you can say that you have not lost your time. And the first is Iman. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. First is that we bring Iman. We bring faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our respected Hazrat Daman Barakatuh mentions that time is very, very valuable. Iman is a very valuable asset a person can have. Iman is something by which, only through which we can gain the hereafter. That is Iman so great. That without Iman, we cannot go into Jannah. But we can only have Iman if we have time. So Allah Ta'ala is so merciful that He has given this time, so that in this time, we can make this time useful and beneficial by bringing Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bringing faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after bringing Iman, how can we use our time? Amanu wa amilu salihat, by doing good deeds. My dear respected brothers, this is not something new. This is not something that we haven't heard before, that we have to do good deeds. These good deeds, what is these good deeds? These good deeds is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. Allah Ta'ala created us so that we worship Him. So that we worship Him. Our Hazrat Damul Barakatuhum mentions that what is worship? Worship doesn't mean that we sit in the corner of the masjid and just start praying namaz all day. That is a form of worship. But that is not the only worship. Worship doesn't only mean that we just start fasting every day. Worship doesn't mean that we just go in Hajj and we stay there and stay in the blessed places. This is not just worship. These are forms of worship. The nutshell, in a nutshell, our Hazrat Daman Barakatuh mentions that worship is that everything we do is in accordance with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever concurs with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is worship. Whatever concurs with the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is worship. Refraining from everything which causes the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which causes the unhappiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is also worship. So whether we do something good or refrain from something evil, we are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the only way we can make our time useful. That is the only way that our time can be regarded as safeguarded and saved from loss. Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned that our time is so valuable, it is like we have a commodity, we have some money by which we can buy something. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also has given this example in the hadith that every person that he has his life, and regarding this life he is in a loss. Why? Because this life is a asset that we have. In this life we can do something. Like we have money, that we can give money to someone and get something in return. Similarly, we have this life that we can spend it and get something in return. Now, either we can gain something which is beneficial, either we can gain something which is more beneficial. A person, he can go to the shop and with this 1 pound or few pounds he has, he can gain something which is very, very beneficial for him. And he can even maybe get the opportunity that he can get something extremely beneficial for him. Or something he can get equal to its value for it. Similarly, we have this life that we can do such amal by which immediately we get to the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do the right amal at the right time, then that amal will take us so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It'll take us immediately to close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or we can spend that time in doing other amal which will benefit us. Maybe it's not as much, but to a degree it will benefit us in the hereafter. Or we can lose this money. We can go to the shop and not buy nothing and lose the money. If we just waste our time doing nothing, then we have not gained, we have not lost. We have not lost meaning, we haven't caused ourselves harm, but again we have lost. Because we have lost this life of ours. We have lost it and it's gone. We could have done something, we could have done a good deed in that time, but we have lost it. And worse than that will be that we spend our time and we do the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We give money and we go to buy something, or rather than getting something beneficial, we get something which causes harm, which causes destruction, which causes us a loss. So if we spend our life and we do sins, then these sins, not only we have lost our life, we have brought destruction upon ourselves. My dear brothers, our life is very short. And we don't know how long our life is. To spend our time in sins, in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the worst thing we can do. Spend our time in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us opportunity. He has brought us to the masjid. He has put his thought in our mind that we should do something. There is, in certain ahadith, some significance with regards to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this night. In certain ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is some reference to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this night. The worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this night, the biggest worship we can do is we cannot sin. That's the first thing we should do. That let us make sure that this night and every other night that is coming, they are all blessed nights of Shaban. And then there is a month of Ramadan, which is full of much blessing. And there is no doubt about the blessings of the month of Ramadan. So let's take this opportunity. We have 14, 15 days left. That let's make this a stepping stone and a starting point that we start preparing for the month of Ramadan. He has given us this night, it's a blessed night. And the first worship we can do in this blessed night is that we don't sin. We don't commit no sin. If we can't do any physical ibadah, if we are so set back and we are lazy and we cannot bring ourselves to do extra ibadat or tilawat or performing salat, the first thing we can do and the least we can do is that to attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't disobey Him. Because disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings His wrath. He's very merciful. And Allah's mercy is more surpassing than His anger. But on the other side, there is His anger. He can punish us. It is not that He will never punish us. If we attract the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite Him giving us this merciful moment, despite Him giving us these blessings, if we be ungrateful to Him, if we are, وَلَيْن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٍ, if you are ungrateful, then my punishment is also severe. Allah is also severe in His punishment. His mercy is much more. So keeping His mercy in His mind doesn't mean that we disobey Him. It doesn't mean that we go against His wishes and commands. So the first thing we should do from today, from now, that we should ensure that the least we can do is not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very easy, my brothers, not to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stay away from those opportunities, those places, those people who encourage you to disobey Him. Stay away from those places which take you towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stay away from those people who take you towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stay in the company of good people where you'll get attracted and you'll get the encouragement to do good deeds. So stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How ungrateful will be that Allah's mercy is coming down. Like I mentioned in the hadith, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His arms ready to forgiveness. And more so on these nights and blessed moments, He's more ready to forgive us. And He has given us the thought and brought us to the masjid. That He shows that He wants us to come closer to Him. That how wretched we will be that we go and disobey Him then. We go and forget His mercies and we go and disobey Him. So the first thing we should do and ensure that we do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter, as much as possible, according to our capabilities, we should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whatever ibadah we can do. Reciting the Quran, performing salat, in whichever form and way we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look, my dear brothers, the summer nights, 10:50 is Isha Salat. Azan is going to take place in a few minutes. The Isha Salat will take place. We are all here in the masjid. If a person performs Isha with Jama'ah and he performs Fajr with Jama'ah, then he gets a reward of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the whole night. So just by performing these two for Salat, we can get the reward of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the whole night. It's very easy. We just have to safeguard ourselves. Control ourselves for a little while. Perform first namaz with Jama'at. Make sure we don't commit no sins. And if you do not feel like doing any ibadat, go and rest. And then make sure you perform Fajr namaz with Jama'at. You'll get reward of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all night. How easy is it? How massive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And apart from that, our nights are very short anyway. Fajr time begins at 1:13. So the night is very short. We used to hear, and we hear about our akabir and our pious elders, in normal nights, they would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all night. As is mentioned by Hazrat Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, that he would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all night. And the stories and the incidents of the pious elders from the tabi'in, from the sahaba tabi'in to our akabir, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all night, that are innumerous. Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi alayh, they mentioned about him, that the whole of Ramadan, he would never sleep. He would never sleep all of Ramadan. And he said that when I went to the haram and I saw the Arabs, that they would not sleep at night in Ramadan. So I got this habit that in the Ramadan there is no sleeping at night. He only sleep in the day for a little while. So look, if these people, they would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all night. They had the strength and capability. But their nights weren't as short as ours. They had long nights. We can at least impersonate them and be like them for a little while. That for a few hours, we control ourselves. For a few hours, we spend some time in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is an opportunity for us. Allah is so merciful towards us that we have these days in which we can also be somewhat like our akabir and our pious elders, that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all night. So let's take this opportunity. that we are going to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible. Like I mentioned, the greatest worship we can do, our Hazrat Aman Barakatuh mentions often, the greatest and the best thing and the most important thing we must do is stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after that, as much time as possible we should spend in tilawat, in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reflecting of our lives. Our Hazrat Aman Barakatuh mentioned that in blessed times and blessed moments, the certain things we should do, and one thing is, we should sit and think and contemplate about our life. That how much of our life has gone? How much of our life do we have left? We don't know how much we got left. But we know what has gone. If 36 of our years of our life has gone, we know that. And we know how we have spent these 36 years. How do you know we're going to get another 1 year even? Or 1 day even? Or 1 moment even? So reflect. And reflect. And when the thought comes about how wretched we are, how we have disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then remember the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he's ready there with his arms out. He has got his arms out and he's ready to forgive us. In certain hadiths mentioned that on the 15th of Sha'ban, this night, Allah Ta'ala has special mercy comes down and Allah Ta'ala descends to the first heavens. On a general note, Allah Ta'ala at tahajjud time is always ready, and he mentioned that, is there anyone who is asking for forgiveness? Hal min mustaghfirin fa aghfir lahu? Is there anyone who is asking for forgiveness? I will forgive him. So take a few moments and contemplate and reflect upon your life and our life. And when the thought comes that we have disobeyed him, then remember the mercy of Allah subhanahu, that he's ready to forgive us. So ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. That one tear, that one moment, that we will reflect, this one tear and one sorrow and one little sorrow that you will feel in your heart, and you will feel that Allah Ta'ala is very merciful, and you will feel asking for forgiveness. This will wipe out all the sins that you have. It is not just takes one drop and one little remorse that will wash away thousands and millions of sins that we have committed. That's how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So if he's so merciful, why should we let these opportunities go? So therefore, a humble request to all my brothers and my mothers and sisters at home, especially, like again, once again mentioned, that stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spend this night and all every night that is coming to Ramadan, and especially in the month of Ramadan, take this opportunity to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Start preparing from now and ensure that not a single moment is lost. We have lost much of our life. Much of our life has been lost. Let's make sure that no more of our life is lost. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me and all of us the tawfiq to pass the Muhammad mentioned. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, Azan will be taken.